The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this almost Friday, Thursday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, home base at the South Point Studios on the South Point Studios Network on YouTube, streaming there. And I hope you're there as well with us. And of course, here in Las Vegas, our radio network home base is at Sports Talk 1400 AM. And 107.1 FM, in case you're running around town this morning listening to us. And, of course, all the other formats that we have. Of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, with the KSHP app that you can hear us, and the YouTube app that you can hear and see us on your iPhone or your Android, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. So we welcome you to the show on this almost Friday, Thursday race day show. Right here in Las Vegas, it's a little breezy outside. The sky is clear, 61 degrees right now. We're going to get up to 78, and by Sunday, we're going to push into the low 90s. So we're kind of getting through a little bit of a small cool front as the wind comes through here. Get a lot of wind here in Las Vegas. And, of course, looking at the weather around the country, looks like the entire Pacific Coast is clear. We don't have any racing there today. And, of course, the Gulf Coast is clear, and for the most part, the East Coast is clear. But there is a front that's moving through the Great Lakes area and Ohio and Indiana that's making its way straight across Pennsylvania into New York. I think we might have a little bit of rain coming up here for the weekend at Belmont at Aqueduct. We'll wait and see about that. Kind of a transition week for horse racing. First of all, we had Laurel Park that closed, Turf Paradise that closed on Sunday. They both closed on Sunday. And, of course, now we have Tampa Bay is also gone now. They closed. Now we've got the opening today of Pimlico Racecourse, the home of the second jewel of the Triple Crown, of course, the Preakness Stakes, which will be a big week next week at Pimlico. Pimlico next week on Friday, which is the day for the Black-Eyed Susans, which is the counterpart of the Kentucky Oaks for the three-year-old fillies on this trek through the Triple Crown. The Black-Eyed Susans will be held on Friday, along with the five other stakes races. And then a week, that's a week from tomorrow. And a week from Saturday, then, of course, is Preakness Stakes Day, and the Preakness will highlight a nine-stakes race card. And so it'll be really getting kind of intense next week, but for the most part, Pimlico opens today. We'll wait and see how that track plays throughout the week and the weekend. And, of course, tomorrow, by Saturday, I should say, well, tomorrow Prairie Meadows opens in the Midwest. Prairie Meadows will open on Friday. And Monmouth Park, the favorite in the East Coast at the shore, so to speak, the shore racetrack, Monmouth Park will open on Saturday. So we got the transition going on. And as you know, we are now Belmont at Aqueduct. It's actually still at Aqueduct proper, but it's the Belmont meeting already starting there. So we got a lot of the changeovers happening as we move into the summertime and our summertime racing programs. Of course, in the summertime is the time when we have the most racetracks running on each and every racing day. Start out a little bit slow with only five races, on our menu yesterday, but we'll pick it up today with nine tracks available today on our racing menu. All right, taking a look at what's going on with the Preakness Stakes. Now, in the Preakness Stakes, We've got Stronghold, the horse that ran the San Anita Derby winner that ran in the Kentucky Derby. Phil D'Amato said he's not going to the Preakness. They're going to head for other derbies throughout the summertime in the Midwest. He sees the Ohio Derby, possibly the Indiana Derby or the Iowa Derby, or all three of them. Of course, only two, because two of them are on the same day. But you got the Ohio Derby going on the 22nd of June, and you got the Indiana Derby and the Iowa Derby happening on the 6th of July. So that's where Stronghold is heading. He's heading for the Midwest Derbies there. Endlessly, as you know, Michael McCarthy said he didn't really care to run a Kentucky Derby. He believes this horse is a turf horse, so Endlessly will be back on the turf for his next start. And as far as any of the other horses going into the Preakness Stakes, Steve Asmussen informed Patriot is going to bypass the Preakness and go for the Lone Star Derby. So Informed Patriot will not be going in the Preakness Stakes. So right now, the Preakness Stakes is a little in flux. We're still waiting if the Kentucky Derby will, the Kentucky Derby winner, Mystic Dan, will keep on the track of trying to win the Triple Crown by going into the Preakness Stakes. His trainer, Kenny McPeak, says the horse is going to tell him. Now, the last time Mystic Dan ran with a two-week interval between one race to the other, he ran terribly. And, of course, you know, the Preakness is 2 weeks from the Kentucky Derby. So he believes that the past performances for Mystic Dan suggests that he needs more than just a two-week recovery time in order to perform at his best level. But at the same time, you only get one chance at the Triple Crown. So here's how McPeak is playing it right now. He says that Mystic Dan will tell him by virtue of his mannerisms in the morning. He's already gone back to the track, galloping as he should. And he's eating up his feed tub every day. It looks and feels as though the Kentucky Derby did not have a lot of wear on him. And we will wait and see. But Kenny McPeak is going to wait and see as the horse moves through next week whether he will enter him in the Kentucky Derby winner will enter into the Preakness Stakes or not. But as far as the Preakness Stakes is concerned, it looks like Bob Baffert's going to have maybe the first two favorites when he brings in Muth and Imagination. Now, Imagination just got beaten a photo finish in the Santa Anita Derby in his last start. And, of course, Muth, as you know, won the Arkansas Derby, was prevented, as all other Baffert trainees were, from running in the Kentucky Derby. The ban is not the case there at Preakness at Pimlico, so he's on his way there looking for his ninth Preakness win with those two horses and the two favorites in the Preakness so far. So we'll wait and see. New shooters are bulk of the entries so far heading for the Preakness Stakes. I think only three horses with the entrance of Mystic Dan, if he goes, are going to come out of the Kentucky Derby and move into the Preakness Stakes. So we'll wait and see about that. Of course, D. Wayne Lucas will be moving on with his horse into the Preakness. He's already got six of those throughout his career as well. So we'll wait and see about that. As far as coming up this weekend, on Saturday, there'll be nine stakes races over the racing menu, three nice stakes races at Belmont at Aqueduct, two grade threes and one grade two. Churchill Downs will come in with a stakes race. Gulfspring Park has a couple. Monmouth, Pimlico, and Santa Anita will all have one stakes race each on Saturday's card. And as far as Sunday is concerned, Belmont at Aqueduct will again have one grade three, and Monmouth and Santa Anita will have another stakes race each. So it's kind of a light weekend as far as stakes racing is concerned as we wait for the big weekend next weekend when we move into Preakness Week. We got a lot of feedback on some of the shows we did for the Kentucky Derby, especially the Kentucky Derby Kentucky Oaks preview show that was only here on the YouTube South Point Studios network. So what we're going to do next week is with our morning shows on Friday, the Black Eyed Susan's Day, we're going to do somewhat of the same framework as we did for that show. We'll go over all six of the stakes races Friday at Pimlico. That's 1 week from tomorrow now, not tomorrow, but 1 week from tomorrow on the 17th of May. I'll have our handicappers, John Lindo and Jonathan Hardoon, go over the six stakes races that include the Black Eyed Susans on 1 week from Friday. And then on Saturday, 1 week from Saturday, Preakness Stakes Day, we'll do the same thing. We'll go over the 9 stakes races in quick order on the Saturday morning show, including, of course, the Preakness Stakes, because people want to hear from these guys, especially on the other stakes races that'll be held on those weekends. So that's what we're planning on doing there. And as far as other news, Joe Talamo is going to go back to Southern California to ride at Del Mar. Joe Talamo will be leaving the Midwest and going back to Southern California to ride at Del Mar this season. That's good news there, that's for sure. And I got to tell you, I'm going to go to by the way, today is the day that the Kentucky stewards have asked Tyler Gaffleone to go in to review the videotape and give his explanation of what happened in the Kentucky Derby. Okay? He goes there today. Now, of course, the jockey that rode the Japanese horse is already back on his way to, he's already back in Japan, really, along with the horse. But it was interesting that a representative of the Kentucky Racing Commission said that when they took a look, a closer look at the videotapes of the incident through the stretch, it showed that the Japanese jockey, Saki, initiated contact with Gaffleone's left boot. That's what they say in reviewing the videotape, knocking him off balance, they say. Forever Young's racing manager conceded that the two horses were in a physical battle. The length of the home stretch, that might have started, but there was a length of the home stretch. Hiroshi Ando, his trainer, said they were fighting together all the way, not just at that moment. When they got to the top of the straight, they were fighting all the way to the wire. And his last comment was, "This is racing." So wait and see about that. All I know is this. One thing is for absolute sure, and I know Jonathan Hardoon, when he comes on, will agree. The stewards have the inquiry at their possession all the time. When you post an inquiry sign on the tote board, it means just that. It doesn't mean there'll be a disqualification. It means the stewards are communicating to you, the betting public, that they are seeing the same thing that you are, and they are looking into the incident. Inquiry only means they are inquiring into the incident. Now, if we all saw it, they should have posted that inquiry sign. Doesn't mean there has to be a change at all. But the betting public out there, the 150,000 or so at the track, and all of the people all over the country, all over the world that were watching that race, saw that and thought to themselves, is there going to be an inquiry? And that's the only way the stewards have to communicate to us, the betting public, that they are looking at it. Now, they said they did look at it, but we had no way of knowing because they didn't post the inquiry sign. That's all I'm saying. The inquiry sign should be used when they are reviewing or looking at an incident, whether it's a bad incident, a slight incident, or something that say, you know, we got to look at this again. They put the inquiry sign up to communicate to us that they're paying attention and doing their job. That's just my thought. All right. Enough of my editorial. Now time to go to our first break. When we come back, Jonathan Ardoon's here. John Linda will be with us. Rich Eng, who gave us a winner yesterday at Parks Racing in the first race there. Only paid $3, but it's better than a long face, that's for sure. And, of course, Jerry Jackowitz along, too, with his Aqueduct selections for today. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All All right, back on the Race Day Las Vegas show, a very popular filly has been retired. Nest, who is now 5 years old and was the three-year-old, of course, champion, a filly champion back in 2022, has been retired. She leaves us with wins in the Ashland Stakes, the Coaching Club American Oaks, and the Alabama in her championship season. She earned $2,172,675 from a record of 8 wins, 2 seconds, and 2/3 out of a 14-race career, and Nest will now go to the breeding shed. Nest, I always liked to see her run. She was really brilliant as a three-year-old, so she has been retired. Okay, time to go now to the racing menu for today. Remind you that most of the racetracks in the menu today and the areas where they're racing seems to be good weather. However, there are some tornadoes happening in the Midwest there. So in the central state, so beware of that. All right. We remind you, first post times on this racing menu each and every day reflect out of the Pacific time zone, because as we're at here in Las Vegas, we are in the Pacific time zone. These will be the racetracks. They'll be betting on right behind us in the race book today. If you're listening anywhere else on all of those formats that we have, all of those platforms that we broadcast around the world, of course, there's a lot of people listening in another time zone. So adjust to the Pacific time zone, to whatever one you're in, and that'll be right for you. We don't want you to miss anything, of course, like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here's the menu for today. We begin with Belterra Park. Belterra Park has 8 races today, and their first post time is at 9:15. Pimlico Racecourse, as they call it, Old Hilltop, is opening today. They may be off the turf today, so keep that in mind. The second, fourth, and sixth races were scheduled for the turf at Pimlico. They might be off. We'll wait and see about that. But they do have an eight-race card today at Pimlico. First post time is 9:25, as I say, as they call it, Old Hilltop. Pimlico, first post time, 9:25. Okay? Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct has a first post time today at 10:05. 10:05 today at Aqueduct. Taking a look at their weather there, mostly cloudy, 66 degrees. And the track is fast at Aqueduct today. That might change, but for now, it's fast there at Aqueduct. First post time for 8 races set at 10:05. 10:05 today at the Big A. Gulfstream Park is next. Gulfstream Park first post time is at 10:10. 10:10 at Gulfstream today. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 9 races. The final race will be a quarter horse race. The first 8 will be thoroughbreds. And their first post time there is at 11:10. Churchill Downs will have a twilight post time on the East Coast. It is 2 o'clock first post here on the West Coast, which means it'll be a 5 o'clock post time for the opener at Churchill Downs on the East Coast in their time zone. So 2 o'clock first post at Churchill Downs. First post time for the 8 races there. Yes, Virginia, there is racing after the Derby at Churchill. First post time is at 2 o'clock today. Penn National has 7 races. Penn National has a first post time of 2:45. 2:45 at Penn National. And then Evangeline Downs, they have 8 races. Their first post time is 3:30. We'll wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown Races has a pick six jackpot carryover, $6,928. 8 races and a first post time of 4 p.m. at Charlestown. And that is your menu for today, your racing menu for today. All righty. All right, let's go to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. And they are off the turf at Pimlico. You are correct. All 3 turf races are off. They're calling the track fast to start, but the races are off the turf.
Did you guys on the East Coast there get some rain overnight or something like that?
We got rain yesterday, yeah, all okay. day here.
All right,
upstate. So. It rained a little bit in New York. I don't know how it was in Maryland.
All right. Well, you know that they're probably preserving that turf course for all those great races next week on Friday and Saturday. The bulk of the big racing cards will be those 2 days, Black Eyed Susan's Day and, of course, Preakness Day. That's 1 week from tomorrow. And Wind Week from Saturday, and we'll be covering those. You guys will be covering those for us. A lot of people liked your little kind of a mini seminar on the special show the other day for the Kentucky Derby. That's for sure. All right. Any thoughts about anything I said so far?
No, but you are 100% right. It's not so much that There, no one called a foul. The problem was the stewards have a responsibility. Listen, they're waiting an hour between races. What's another 10 minutes going to take? Do the right thing. Drop the flag. Look at it. Obviously, if he doesn't deserve to come down, he's not going to come down. But at least do the right thing and show the people that you're doing your job. You know, calling in Tyler Gaffleone on Thursday when the race was on Saturday means absolutely nothing. And what are they going to get out of it? Everyone saw the horse was lugging in. Tyler Gaffleone certainly wasn't whipping right-handed where he was going into the Forever Young. You know, so calling him in, okay, we all saw what happened. We don't need to call him in to see what happened. It was totally the horse's fault. And as far as the Japanese hitting the other horse first, okay, fine. They still started off in the 10 path and ended up in the 4 path. So obviously Sierra Leone was coming in most of the stretch. I don't care who started it. Again, the stewards had a right and a responsibility to look at the foul and drop the flag, and they didn't.
Yeah, it's just public trust. You know, tell the public, because that's the only way they communicate with us. I mean, so big
it's
deal.
Everybody
in the press box knew it, but we didn't. And it would be nice to know that, hey, look, the stewards saw the same thing. They're looking at it. Okay? That's all. That's all we wanted. Their communication with us when it was an obvious situation where they should be looking at it. And they said they did, but, I mean, we never knew it.
They did behind the curtain. They did, but you're 100%. They have a responsibility to the public to drop the flag, and they didn't. All they did was drop the ball.
Okay, now the Japanese rider back in Japan, and again, I want to emphasize what class these people had in this entire situation. But you know, I can't see the stewards when they bring in jockeys afterwards from an incident. Whether they were disqualified on the day of the incident or not, when they bring him in to review the videotapes and the jockey talks about what he did and why he did it in the race, sometimes the rider will get days when the horse wasn't disqualified. And so right. I can't see where Gaffleone, once you see and I remember you saying that Sierra Leone is a huge horse. He's a big, imposing type of horse. And when he starts leaning in, you get, you know, I mean, there's a little jock on there that's 110 pounds trying to maneuver with a you know, 2-inch strap, leather strap. So what I'm saying is that even though they might sit there and say he's going to say he did everything he possibly could, and that should be the end of it. If Gaffleone, for some strange reason, gets days, I you know, that will be an injustice.
It certainly will be. I mean, everybody saw Ralph. He was pulling on the right rein and trying to go forward and pulling on the right rein. He was in an impossible situation. I mean, I saw on Twitter people were saying, well, I guess Chad Brown's going to make a jockey change. Why would he make a jockey change? Believe me, what Tyler Gaffleone did, the fact that he even got second was a miracle.
Yeah.
He did an unbelievable job being able to hold that horse for the little bit of the time that he went straight to be able to get second. Tyler Gaffleone is not coming off of that horse.
And so was the Japanese rider. It was class all the way. And by the way, how would you give Gaffleone anything but, okay, thank you very much, when you didn't disqualify the horse in the first place? So we'll leave it at that. That's you know, now water under the bridge.
Turn the page. To turn the page.
Right. Looking at Pimlico, will you be doing anything at Pimlico as far as your sheets are concerned before the big 2 days next Friday and next Saturday?
No, I'm probably only going to do Friday and Saturday.
Okay. Now, having said that, when you handicap individual racetracks, and it's opening day today at Pimlico, I know that you guys, like you and Jerry and all that have your formulas going. Do you take into consideration any nuances that each individual racetrack may have in producing those numbers, or like trips in the race, or how it's laid out, for example?
Well, we have the sheets have a number for every race that a horse has run. So it's easy. We go back and we look at how the horses ran at those tracks in the past, if they did. Mm-hmm. And if they did, it's certainly a big plus because everybody knows there are horses for courses. And, you know, so we have a little bit of an edge.
Now, in looking at the configuration of the Pimlico racecourse, if you were to take a drone and sit right over the racetrack, the track almost looks like an egg, because going into the first turn, the turn itself is sharper going into the backstretch. Then when you get to the far turn, it's more, you know, it's more expansive. It's more wider than the first turn is, as far as that's concerned. And as far as the TV coverage, unless they change the cameras, you get kind of not a distorted vision, but certainly a different view of the horses coming down the stretch. And sometimes the horses on the inside look like they're a lot closer to the horses on the outside than they are. So keep that in mind when you're watching the simulcast today. But that track is not, the configuration of the track is not exactly two equal turns and the back stretches.
It's kind of like an oval, you know?
Yeah.
It's like an egg, like you said. That's really what it's like. And, you know, that all tracks all of a sudden, especially on these big days and NBC when they cover it, they love the drone shot.
Yeah.
Personally, I hate the drone shot. I have no idea where my horse is three quarters of the race. And when they turn for home, then they're giving you a shot from the head of the stretch, you know, I don't know. They think they're cute with these great angles and everything. Leave it the way it is. People are used to watching races like they do all year round and at every track. Don't get fancy, and don't get fancy in the big races, because all you're going to do is really insult players that watch all year round and do it for a living.
I do believe the drone shots, however, are good for reviewing in case there is an inquiry or something. I think
they're good. They're not good for gamblers that are trying to watch their horse.
Yeah, yeah, but it is good for the stewards. But I will say this. Now, we know that, you know, at Churchill Downs, they got all these big corporate tents and everything out in the infield. Pimlico, I believe, also does some stuff in the infield with tents, et cetera. Now, when they run the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga this year, I don't believe they have access to the infield at Saratoga, right?
We had an infield that they, I guess, stopped using a few years ago, but if they wanted to open it, I'm sure it's there. I don't know what they're going to do. You know?
Reason for
personally,
this. Personally, the reason for this is because on the telecast, when you watch them, the corporate tents get in the way of the pan shot going down the backstretch. Sometimes you lose them for like, you know, anywhere from, well, almost a 16th of a mile sometimes. I noticed that at Churchill Downs. And I'm expecting that at Pimlico as well from past. And, you know, it takes away from those pan shots that, you know, we're watching in these individual races. And maybe that's when they start utilizing the drone.
The drone shot? Yeah, and we also have trees up here at Saratoga on the backstretch. So sometimes that interferes with the view. But, you know, who knows how it's going to be or what it's going to be. And a lot of people not happy, actually, that they're running the Belmont at Saratoga.
I saw that.
Why aren't they running the Belmont at Aqueduct?
I saw that.
All they do is get an opportunity to squeeze more money out of people by doing this, to be honest with you.
Prices
are insane. And people want, you know, they're using Aqueduct all year round. Well, why are they being penalized and not being able to use them for the Belmont Stakes?
Now, the distance of the Belmont will still be a mile and a half, correct?
And if it was at Aqueduct, it would be. I think it's going to be a mile and a quarter now up here. I don't know how they're going to get a mile and a half. I think it's going to be a mile and a quarter. I'm not sure.
Well,
I will check, and I'm sure I'll get an email or two about it.
Yes, check for us, that's for sure, because that does make a little bit of a difference, that's for sure. All right, Jonathan, I know that you didn't do any racetracks yesterday because they weren't, you know, part of the tracks that you do, but there's two tracks that you do today. You have two sheets available for Belmont at Aqueduct, as we've been talking about, and also at Churchill Downs. So what say you?
By the way, Churchill is a night card. Well, I guess late in the afternoon for you guys. But we're going to look at Belmont first and look at the seventh race today. It's a mile and eighth on the main track. And I like the number four horse in here, Signature. This is a four-year-old called from the Chug McGahey barn, Javier Castellano aboard to ride. It's listed at 5-2 on the morning line. The key to this horse is he goes back on Lasix today. Both of his last two races were run without Lasix. Back on Lasix today. He's run well at Aqueduct in the past. Number four, Signatory, pick five single in today's seventh race out at Belmont at Aqueduct.
All right, Javier Castellano aboard, seventh race, number four, Signatory, the four in the seventh race at Aqueduct. Is your play there? And I guess as Jerry has star horses, etc., you have several races on your sheet each day that are races designated with stars, and those are the races that you, I would imagine, that you really like, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it's slim pickings today at Belmont at Aqueduct. Uh-huh. Not much value on the card, but I figured I'd rather give out a winner than not.
Yes, short price better than long face, as they say.
Exactly.
All right, let's, I guess we're going to Churchill Downs next then, huh?
Yeah, let's look at race five, 6.5 furlongs on the main track. And I like the number five horse in here, Tiger's Legacy, a four-year-old gelding from the Christopher Davis barn. This horse tried dirt for the first time last time out. Prior to that, he's had excuses. He's been on synthetic, and his first career start, he went long. Last time, first time sprinting on the dirt, and he ran a huge figure. Frankie Dettori aboard to ride, 5-1 on the morning line. I like number five, Tiger's Legacy, to win today's or tonight's fifth race out of Churchill Downs.
Yeah, that race will probably be coming under lights, no doubt about it. So in the fifth race, the five, Tiger's Legacy, the five, Tiger's Legacy, and the fifth race, easy to remember there, Churchill Downs. That'll wrap up the early pick four and early pick five at Churchill this pseudo evening, so to speak. We'll be a late afternoon for us, but fifth race, the five, is your play at Churchill. And again, full sheets for both Churchill and Belmont at Aqueduct available right now at Jonathan's websites. Right, Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Ralph.
I wanted to ask you one more question because you have, you know, a closeness with the Cox barn and certainly a closeness with Chad Brown as well. As far as Chad Brown is concerned, about Sierra Leone, everything okay with this horse? I know he's going to be pointed for the Belmont up there at Saratoga, but he came out of the race okay too?
Fine. He's actually up in Saratoga. I think he arrived yesterday, or he's arriving this morning. So the town's starting to hop. Horses are coming in, and it's going to get exciting over the next month.
Yeah, as you say, the town is starting to hop. The horses are coming in. We're getting closer to the Belmont at Saratoga, which means the prices are all going to be raised.
New menus come out next week.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralphie. Stay safe and be well.
All right. We're coming back with Rich Eng, who gave us a winner yesterday on the show, Slim Pickens, but he found one for us. Let's see what he's got for us today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. Did you know that Bob Baffert, who was looking for his ninth Preakness Stakes on next Saturday, is tied right now with a gentleman who trained the same amount, eight Preakness winners back in the 1870s. The trainer's name was R. Wyndham Walden. Just an FYI there. A little trivia for you. All right, let's go to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie.
Well, nice winter yesterday. I know it didn't pay much, but it was slim pickings yesterday, that's for sure, at Parks. And, of course, you are doing a sheet for Santa Anita, but that doesn't kick in till tomorrow. But we do have some racing at Aqueduct and Churchill. I'm sure you'll find something for us. But the Preakness field is starting to shape up like this. It may be that the first three finishers in the Kentucky Derby, Mystic Dan, Sierra Leone, and Forever Young, are obviously the second and third place finishers are already skipping the Kentucky Derby. We're still waiting for a final decision from Kenny McPeak if he's going to take on the challenge of trying to win the Triple Crown with the Derby winner. But I got to tell you, that leaves Bob Baffert with the fresh horses, obviously, as the favorites in the race. But I wouldn't overlook Brad Cox's Catching Freedom, who finished fourth in the Derby. So he'll be the only horse, if the first three, the decisions for the first three hold, the only horse, the highest finisher in the Kentucky Derby to go on to the Preakness Stakes.
Yeah, Catching Freedom's a real nice horse, and the two Baffert horses are fresh, and obviously they're very nice horses, in Muth and Imagination. So there's a lot of good shooters, you know, coming into the Preakness Stakes. And, you know, we touched on this yesterday, Ralph, that it's a long season, and there's a lot of great three-year-old races down the road. So Kenny has to do what's best for Mystic Dan. And if racing on 2 weeks' rest is not good for the horse, then so be it. You know, you got the Belmont Stakes, you got the Haskell, you got the Travers, you got the Jim Dandy, you got the Pennsylvania Derby, you got the Super Derby. I mean, you got all kinds of races out there just for three-year-olds, and this horse can make a lot of hay for him.
Not even that. And Phil D'Amato has taken that into consideration with Stronghold, who didn't finish well in the Kentucky Derby, but the Santa Anita Derby winner, he's looking for a lot of those Midwest derbies throughout the summertime. He's got the Ohio Derby penciled in for Stronghold on the 22nd of June, and either the Indiana Derby or the Iowa Derby on the 6th of July. So he's looking to make some hay with this horse and money in the other derbies, you know?
You know, Ralph, when I heard you talking about D'Amato and Stronghold and the other derbies, I got a chuckle because when I was working at the New York Racing Association, Woody Stevens, in his own way, dominated the Triple Crown races, kind of like the way, you know, Baffert has done the last, you know, two decades. But Woody had a bunch of nice three-year-olds, and one of them was a horse called Smarten, S-M-A-R-T-E-N, who, quite frankly, was not one of his top three-year-olds, but his, you know, his B three-year-olds were better than a lot of other guys' three-year-olds. And I remember on the backside, he was asked by the reporters, is Smarten going to be pointed for the Derby? And Woody Stevens, in his typical, you know, wry smile, said, yes, the Ohio Derby, the West Virginia Derby, the Super Derby. So his answer was kind of like what you just talked about.
Yeah.
But Woody was great for the media.
And I believe that he will have a record that will stand the test of time. And you remember that you can only run in the Belmont Stakes as a three-year-old. You only get one chance at the Derby, the Preakness, or the Belmont. And this guy won the Belmont Stakes, I believe, 5 years in a row with five different three-year-olds. That is amazing.
You know, when you think about it, Ralph, it's hard nowadays to have starters in five Belmont Stakes in a row,
yeah,
or five Kentucky Derbies in a row. You know, you got to be lucky to come up with really nice horses. Even some of these with expensive price tags, they all don't pan out. So, right. What a phenomenal job by Woody Stevens. There was a big plaque and a big presentation on the wall in the Belmont Park clubhouse. I hope they obviously keep that. It over from the old Belmont into the new Belmont.
Yeah,
he deserves to be up there forever.
They'll keep the plaque, but I'm sure the wall that was sitting on is going to be gone. That's for sure. As they remodel the entire grandstand, they're dismantling it right now. But and not only that, but during that 5 year period, he did something even extra special with a horse called Conquistador Cielo. When he won the Met Mile on Memorial Day with this horse, swung him back 5 days later and won the Belmont Stakes. How about that?
Yeah, you know, I was working in New York at the time. He did win the Met Mile, beating older horses on Monday.
Yep.
And then came back and won the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. And a little kind of a forgotten story about that, Ralph, is that Eddie Maple was the stable rider for Woody Stevens on a lot of his good horses. Eddie rode the horse in the Met Mile, but then he got hurt in a spill during the week at Belmont Park. And a jockey that you know real well and I know real well was called in out of the bullpen to ride Conquistador Cielo in the Belmont Stakes, Lafitte Pinkeye Jr.
I'll tell you what, good nostalgia all on today's show, that's for sure. Hey, you got a horse for us?
Yeah. You know, we've had two in a row because just to recap on Sunday, I gave out a horse called Old Pal in the last race
at Santa Anita.
Santa Anita. Yeah. Yeah, he paid like $920, and I think that helped a lot of people. And we'll see if we can keep the hitting streak going. Let's go to race two at Churchill today, Ralph. It's 7 furlongs, elongated sprint. I like the number 7, B52. Gets a nice parking lot post 7 out of 7. And Tyler Gaffalione, who's getting a lot of press lately, should have a really good bird's-eye trip from the outside. So let's go with the 7, B52, race two, Churchill.
Well, I hope his meeting with the stewards today it leaves him in a good mood, that's for sure, for the second race there in number 7. The horse's name is B52. The horse's number is 7, and it's in the second race. And, yes, let's keep the mojo going there, Richie. Thanks a lot, my man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. We got John Lindo in the bullpen and, of course, Jerry Jackowicz yet to go. So we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back to wrap this almost Friday, Thursday show. Do not do it. Don't go away.
From the South Point Studio. Perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least 2 picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, let's put the finishing touches on this show by going to John Lindo, standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. I know that we've had enough time now to recuperate and get all our energies back as we move into the weekend and of Santa Anita. Your schedule for the Lindo Report for next week with Pimlico, with the big black-eyed Susan's Day, 1 week from tomorrow, and, of course, the Preakness, 1 week from Saturday.
Well, obviously, we'll keep doing Santa Anita on a daily basis, but I will do some Pimlico. I have to see what the draw schedule looks like for their entries.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, we would do the stakes races on Pimlico on Black Eyed Susan Friday and Preakness Saturday. But, yeah, we'll take a look at that whole schedule, and when I have it all, I'll update you there.
All right, and we've got you and Jonathan scheduled for the Friday morning show to go over those stakes races at Pimlico on Friday, and then same thing on Saturday morning for the stakes races on Preakness Day, because I have gotten a lot of feedback from our listeners. They love the Thursday night show and how you guys did it. So we're going to try to do that. We're going to do that on the morning shows next Friday, a week from tomorrow, and of course, Saturday, Preakness morning as well. All right. Southern California, they're getting ready to give us some horses, some fields here for the weekend.
Well, so far we're light. I think 47 horses only on the 8-race card Friday. and only nine races Saturday. I think there's something like 57 there. So we're pretty light the next couple of days. We'll see what Sunday has to offer when they enter today. But, you know, a little bit of the fallout from running 11 races last Saturday on Derby Day.
Now, John, of course, a lot of attention, two horses that are stabled there in Southern California, Bob Baffert's Muth and Imagination. Their schedule as far as leaving for Maryland?
I think Bob Baffert will work them once more over the weekend in Southern California before he ships them out to Maryland. They've been working in tandem. They worked together the six furlongs last week with Muth on the inside, Imagination on the outside. They worked about 111 and 4, 112, and Muth was always in hand, and he galloped out the best. Both are doing very, very well.
Before we let you go, John, I guess with some of the jockeys who are leaving the Southern California circuit for the East Coast and other parts of the country, we got a man coming from the Midwest back to Southern California, was a very, very popular rider in Southern California. Joe Talamo says he's going to ride at Del Mar.
Yeah, it'd be good to see Joe and his family. He's a good guy, and he's got a couple of kids. He'll spend the summer on the beach at Del Mar. And, you know, he really struggled a little bit this winter at Turfway Park. You know, he's got a lot of ties out here. He knows a lot of the people out here. I hope he comes back and does some good. I root for the guy. He won a stakes for me on Risky Proposition. We'll see what happens. I know he wants to get his family out for the summer. And the timing's right. He's going to come out a few weeks early, ride the last couple of weeks at Santa Anita, and start building his business toward Del Mar.
Well, we know he is a talented individual, much more talented than his record may have showed back there recently. That's for sure. It'll be nice to see him there. Before we let you go, any other news in Southern California we should know about?
Well, you know, the only thing that you had mentioned earlier, as far as the Belmont goes, that is a mile and a quarter race when they run it at Saratoga. So that will be a mile and a quarter. As far as Southern California, no, the weather's good out here. And you'll see a lot of horses working on that Tapita track, especially the grass horses. They're using that quite a bit. And I think that's helped some of these grass horses move forward training on that surface.
Well, it certainly is keeping them fit, that's for sure. Hey, John, we will let you go and finish up that honeydew list before we start over the weekend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. We'll be ready for Santa Anita tomorrow.
You better believe it, my man. Thanks a lot, John Lindo. All right, now we're going to go to Jerry Jackwitz to put the finishing touches here. And, of course, with only one racetrack, we usually squeeze a couple of picks out of Jerry Jackwitz, so we'll do the same right now.
Squeeze away, Ralph. Squeeze away.
All right, well, you got a lot of dinging going on there, don't you?
Yeah, hopefully it's over. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay. Everybody understands. Believe me, that sound effect, everybody knows what it is. So don't worry about that. That's for sure. Belmont at Aqueduct again. Anything we should know about what's going on there in New York?
Not really, Ralph. It's the same one. We're still at Aqueduct. They can call it Belmont at Aqueduct. They can call it what they want, but it's just Aqueduct. Mm-hmm. And that's where the horses are racing. That's where their feet are pressing along the ground. Mm-hmm. And we're just going into a little warmer weather. And we should see the track get a little faster. You know, during the winter, it's a little slower, but the track will pick up speed. The horses will then look like they're faster, but they really will only be running a relative faster time because the surface will be allowing them to do so. And we'll get some of our summer horses in, which are actually faster horses. So we'll see some really good racing at Aqueduct for the next couple of months. This is going to be a great meet.
Yeah, and of course,
I hope everybody plays it, really, because this is a class. This is really a class meet.
Yeah, they're going to have some really nice stakes races this weekend at Belmont at Aqueduct that usually are held at Belmont Park. But the stakes schedule will stay the same, that's for sure. But for today, we got to build a bankroll. What are we doing?
Okay, so we're going to go to the first race and the fifth race. Maybe that'll help somebody put together a pick five.
Oh, good.
I would spend most of my money on the first race. I really like it an awful lot today.
Okay.
Let me just click over here.
That's good. That's bookends.
First race, we have number three, Charles Delight, at 6-1 going a mile for Michael Maker. And boy, do I like this horse. You just kind of see that they kind of figured this horse out last fall and started giving her a little more spacing to her races, and she got better and consistent. And with consistency, there's improvement. And, you know, because the horse gets to be handled the proper way for herself. And mm-hmm. I just love the horse at 6-1. That's Charles Delight, the filly, the 3 horse. I'm playing the 3 over the 2-5-6 doing reverses, 2-5-6 back over the 3. But the 3, that's my feature play, and surely a pop-out key at 6-1.
All right. First post time here in the Pacific time zone is 10:05 a.m. Remember that, 10:05 a.m., about 2 hours after we close a shop here. And it starts the early pick 5, and Jerry's going to start us with a winner in the early pick 5. We're going to bookend it in the 5th race with another winner in the pick 5. So that'll give us a chance to shop in between to get some more horses on our ticket. In the first race, though, number 3, Charles Delight, is Jerry's play with Trevor McCarthy aboard. The 3 and the link-ups are 2, 5, and 6 and reverse. And now we'll get to the 5th race.
All right, we'll go to the 5th race. We'll take a layoff horse for Shug. Pentagon, the 2 horse, Jose Lascano. Coming off a layoff, she typically runs with a little bit better class of horse and runs better figures than these horses do. And for a filly or mare in this case to come off a layoff and run her figure off the layoff is very reasonable. She's got the very good inside post position. The 2 post really becomes the 1 post because the 1 horse is scratched. I think she's a very reasonable play at 7-2. I like the 2 well enough to make the playoff for her. We'll play the 2 with the 1-5-7-8, reverse 1-5-7-8 over the 2, but the 2 in race number 5.
All right. Well, here's the update. In the first race, number 4, Autumn's Turn is scratched. It wasn't part of your play, so that's okay. But in the 5th right. race, the 1 is a scratch. Bella Princesa, Principisa. The 1 horse is scratched in the 5th race. So you've got the 2 over the 5-7-8. Right?
You know, it's a moment like this that makes me have a moment to say how hard the job of the race caller is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that. Yes. We'll just call it the 1 horse. So you're going to take the 1 out of your play, obviously. So it's going to be the 2 over the 5-7-8 and reverse, right?
Correct.
All right. Don't forget Jerry J's Power Pages for today at Belmont at Aqueduct, available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. All right. We're doing it. We're ending the show right on time. And we will be back tomorrow, Friday. In the meantime, have a great day out there. Enjoy yourself. Be safe. And Jerry has one more thing to say. And I do believe he's going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.